Kuf Chav Tesamid Bey, 7 lines down from the top. Amar Shmuel, are there certain time periods which are more appropriate and should be chosen for Hakazas Dam? Pursa de Dama, a time period for Hakazas Dam is called Tlosim Yom, every 30 days. Ubena Prakim, between what's called Perkei Shnosav, in other words, before he reaches the age of 40, he should limit the amount of Hakaza, and he should only do Hakaza once every 2 months. Ubena Prakim, when he reaches the age of 60, Yachzar V'Yamayit, again he should reduce the frequency of his Hakazas Dam to once in 30 days. So as he gets older, reaching different prakim in his life, different periods of time, he should decrease the frequency of his bloodletting, and presumably that's because he's not as healthy. Ein bekocho, v'ein tomacham, v'gufa mitztanein, his body gets colder, Rashi says. Now, once he's 20 years old and above, then he takes bloodletting every 30 days. And after 20 years, and he gets to the age of 40, then once every 2 months, at another 20 years, once every 3 months. So every 20 years, he has a serious reduction in the power that he has by one notch, and therefore we add another month to disperse, to separate the frequency of his hakaza. The Amar Shmuel Pursa de Dama, again, the time period for Hakazas Dam in terms of days of the week is Chad B'Shabsa, on the first day of the week, and Arba, or on Wednesday of the week, or Mali Shabsa on Erev Shabbos. Aval, but on Mondays and Yom Sheni, Yom Chamishi, and Thursdays, Lo Yakis. Those are not good days for Hakazah. Those are days of divine justice and judgment. The Omar Mar, we have a statement in the name of one of the Chacham Anonymous regarding Mondays and Thursdays. Mishi yesh lo zchus avos, if he has merits from his fathers, his antecedents, right, his ancestors, is then it's okay. Yaki is dam b'sheni v'chamishi. Now, that's for other people, it would be a dangerous period of time, but he's got zchus avos. Shebezin shalmala b'shalmata shavim kiechad. Meaning, just like down here in the earthy Bezdin, the 2 days that are designated for judgment are Mondays and Thursdays, so too, up in Shamayim, Mondays and Thursdays are days of judgment, when the books are open and people's merits, or the opposite, are scrutinized. And therefore, try to avoid, if possible, bloodletting on Mondays and Thursdays, because that's when there's judgment. And again, even though, as the Gemara mentions, Rosh Hashanah, there's judgment on a daily basis, but nevertheless, after Ezra made his takana that the courts down here should convene on Mondays and Thursdays, the heavenly courts follow suit and they convene when the earthly courts convene, which means on Mondays and Thursdays. So that's a time of heavenly judgment. Person's sins are scrutinized, and therefore it would be advisable to avoid the dangerous activities such as bloodletting at those times, because divine judgment is more exact. B'tlosa b'shabsa my time alone. Why is it that Shmuel singles out Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, leaving out Tuesday? Mishum de kaimale ma'adim bezove. So this has to do with the influence of the stars, particularly in this case, ma'adim, which is a word in Aramaic for Mars. And Mars is now bezove. Zove means the even hours of the day, and that's when Mars prevails. And Mazel Ma'adim, this astrological sign called Ma'adim, Mars, is Memuna ala Dever v'ala Cherev v'ala Peronios, is in charge of all evil occurrences and all types of dangerous epidemics, and it's Meshamesh, Bo Misha Shminis Mitril Sayon. So it begins its service, so to speak, from the eighth hour of the beginning of the day, which is an even number, right? Eight is twice four, it's an even number. And during these even hours, there is a green light for Shadim, for demons to damage. Now, during the even hours, when the mazel of Ma'adim is Meshamesh, we have to worry about sakana beyond the normal. Those are very scary hours. And on Tuesdays, we have the influence of Mars during the even hours of the day. And we'll have to see why it's Dafka Tuesday. That's the Gemara's gonna. Now, there are seven celestial bodies that exert influences on Earth down here in an hourly fashion. And that's the Sun, the Moon, the five planets that are visible on Earth to the naked eye. That's Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter. And the sequence of influences, which is called Shatzam Chanchal, which starts with Shabsai and then goes on to Tzedek and Ma'adim and Chama, Noga, then Kochav, and then Levona. This cycle of influences begins at the very beginning of the fourth day of creation, which is the day in which God created the celestial bodies, and he placed them in the firmament. So therefore, the first hour of the first Tuesday night of creation, which is called Shabsai, Saturn, exerted its influence, followed by Tzedek, which is Jupiter, in the second hour, then Ma'adim, Mars, in the third hour, and so on and so forth. So the impact of this constantly repeating cycle has on each hour of the week. And here we have a chart. You can see how he charts it out. Mars's influence, which is predisposed to war, to epidemics, other misfortunes. And the Gemara teaches us at the end of Pesachim that anything associated with pears is particularly vulnerable to these demons and their influences. So we have to especially avoid dangerous activities like bloodletting when Mars is dominant during an even-numbered hour, for two negative influences then coincide. So we have the plural, right? The zugos, which means the even number, plus the influence of Mars. Now Mars ascends on Tuesday during the eighth hour of the daytime. So therefore, one should not let blood and involve himself in bloodletting on Tuesday, because if he does so, he might, chas v'shalom, get involved during the eighth hour, which is very dangerous. Now, Mars ascends even during the hours of other days, let's say, for example, Sunday and Wednesday, but this goes on during the nighttime hours. So it's unusual to have bloodletting during the nighttime. Now, the influence of Mars prevails during even daytime hours on Monday, Thursday, and Friday. But the Gemara has already explained that there's a better reason for avoiding bloodletting on Mondays and Thursdays for the Likesha without mentioning Mars. The Gemara is going to now raise the question of Friday and see where Friday fits into this whole thing. But first, the Gemara asks the following. Male Shabsa Nami Kaime Bezove. On Erev Shabbos Friday, Amadim ascends its Meshamesh during the sixth hour, which is a number that is even, right, Zugit. And how could you be so open to the idea of bloodletting on Friday when it might coincide with the sixth hour, where you have both the influence of Mars as that destructive influence, and it's the sixth hour, which is Zugit? And the Gemara answers, Keva de Doshbe Rab Shomer Psoim Hashem. We have a principle derived from Pesukim Tehillim called Shomer Psoim Hashem, which means that people, when they get used to it, because it was common in the day that they did Akaza on Friday, and especially close to Suda Shabbos, and they were dochek lahotzi otzos al tzorche Shabbos b'chol hakos adam. They were makers on Erev Shabbos because it was close to Suda Shabbos. So why spend all that extra money on a big Suda if you would do bloodletting during the week? Why not do it Erev Shabbos before the Suda Shabbos? And that's called Shomer Psoyim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer, those who are Psoyim, literally simple-minded, meaning they're not careful from dangers. But again, it's only if Dashu Bei Rabin, if the majority of the Jewish people behave in that way, and they trampled on a beaten path, so to speak, and then God protects them. Omar Shmuel, Arba, to who are ba? So we're talking about Wednesday, which is the fourth day of the week. And if it also happens to be in any particular month, the fourth day of the month, our ba to our besar, or alternatively, if you want to let blood on the fourth day of the week, that's Wednesday, that is also the 14th day of the month. So notice how the fours are repeating themselves, or Dalad Shu Esrim V'Arba on the 24th of the month, or Dalad Deleka Arba Basrei, or letting blood on the fourth day of the week, when there are not 4 days after it in the month. In other words, you're within the 4 day period at the end of the month. Sakanta, all the above are dangerous periods, and that's not appropriate for bloodletting. Rosh Chodesh V'Sheni Lo Chulsha. And the first day of the month and the second day of the month are both, how should I say, lend themselves to causing weakness. Shlishi lo sakana, the third day of the month is dangerous. Male yoma tava chulsha, on the eve of Yontif, bloodletting causes weakness. Male yoma datzarte sakanta, on Erev Shavuos, it's actually dangerous. The Gemara is going to explain. V'gazru Rabbanan akuli mali yoma tava. The Rabbanan therefore made a decree prohibiting bloodletting on any Erev Yontif, Yishum Yovah Tava Datzeres, lest he come to bloodlet on Erev Shavuos. The Nafik Bey, what's so dangerous about that day? Zika, a wind blows, Shmei Tvoach, whose name is slaughtering. And to Elo Kiblu Yisrael Torah, if not for the fact that the Jewish people accepted the Torah, Havetovach Lehula Bisraim. Well, this wind, which is called Tavach, would have slaughtered the Jews had they not accepted the Torah. B'chol Asmanim She'ira Bahem Lavusenu Ezed Darvinyim Misuyom. Whenever something happens during Jewish history, B'chol Shana B'yoso Zman, every year annually on that time, it's like a spiral when we get back to that period of time, Shuv Ktas Mein Osa Dovram V'inyan. And therefore, there's a great danger on Erev Shavuos every year because of the Sakana that took place during the time of our ancestors, had they not, chas v'shalom, accepted the Torah. And even you might add, well, let's ask the question, Kiblu Yisra, at the end of the day, they accepted the Torah. Nevertheless, there's something called Kilas, Talmud Chacham, Afila Tnai Ba. So we want to avoid Erev Sukkos, Erev Shavuos is a very dangerous time period, and that's not appropriate for Hakazas Tam, and therefore they prohibited Hakazas Tam on any Erev Yontiv, lest they come to do Hakazas Tam on Erev Shavuos. The Marsha asks, why is this Ruach called Tavuach, velo Toveach? Toveach would have been the active slaughterer. And he says that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin that if someone overcomes his natural tendency, his Yetzer, he's like Zovcho. It's as if he had slaughtered his Yetzer Hara. And therefore, since Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah and they overcame the Yetzer Hara, we could say that they shechted the Yetzer Hara Kilu Tovcho also. And therefore, the name is called Tavuach. It's already been shechted. Hamikis Amar Shmuel, Ochal Chita, if he ate bread or some sort of cooked flour, you know, something with flour in it, and then he went ahead and make his dam, then it's not going to work for him. Lo Hoil Shehikis. It won't be a complete achievement of its goal. Ella it might be helpful for the carbs that he ate, you know, to lessen the heavy weight of the carbs, but hakaza should not be after the meal. It'll only help you to lighten the burden of the heavy food, but it will not do what it's meant to do. Bahani mili, and that only applies if he does hakaza l'refua, for purposes of health. Avali okule mekil. But if he wants to bloodlet because there's too much blood pressure and he wants to lower his blood pressure, then it's meaningful even if he does it after a meal. Now, is there a, let's say, the efficacy of bloodletting, where is it after a meal or before a meal? So we're saying that after a meal, it might alleviate the heaviness of a meal, but it has no therapeutic effect beyond that. And that's what's going on here. Make his dam ishisili alter achila chatzi meal. After Akaza's dam, he can drink anything immediately, but as far as eating, he should wait the time period that it would take to walk half a meal. Iboilahu, the Gemara has a suffix. Shesil yalter mali, aval basach ikashi, is drinking, in Shmuel's statement, helpful immediately after hakaza. And if he would wait and delay his drinking for a certain period of time, then it's not a good idea. It's not going to be effective. It's not going to help him. It might even be hazardous. O dilma lo kashi v'lo mali. In other words, it would be very, very highly recommended to drink immediately after Akaza's dam, but if he doesn't do so, Shmuel didn't mean to say that it's very dangerous. He just meant to say it's, as we say in Yiddish, nishtaher, nishtahin. It's not this way, not that way. Take the Gemara leaves that as an unanswered question. Another suffix with regard to eating, iboilu achilad chatzi mil hudukam mali, but habasachi mekamiyachi kashe, is this exact, precise waiting period of a half hour, is that necessary? Because otherwise, it's not good. It's really, really, really not good. If he eats earlier or later, that's not good. O dilma lo kashi v'lo mali. Or maybe we could say that if he eats not waiting a half a meal, it's not hazardous. It's just not beneficial. Teku, and we leave this as an unanswered question. Machriz Rav. Rav gave us advice. Mea Kari Bezuza. Buy 100 gourds with one zuz. In other words, if it's cheap, buy 100 of them. If not, don't buy them, because gourds are not healthy. Mea Reshe. You also should avoid the heads of animals. If they sell it to you for a zuz, it's worth a zuz. But mea sfame, if you're talking about the lips of the animal, the loklum, don't even give them a dime for that, because they serve absolutely no benefit. At least if you get a gourd or perhaps a head of an animal, you know, pay a zuz for it, because it's worth something. Again, don't spend money on it. They're not nutritious, but, you know, if you're getting it cheap, all right, buy it. But in the case of the lips of the animal, then don't even pay for it. It's not worth it. Omar Rav Yosef, Ki Avinim Bei Rav Huna. When I was learning in the Beis Medrash of Rav Huna, Yoma De Mefagri Bei Rabbanon, and it was a day in which the students were a little bit laid back. They were kind of lazy. They didn't want to come to the Beis HaMedrash. Amri, they used to say, Ha'idna Yoma Disfamehu. This is the day of the lips. Belo Yadana Mai Komer. I never understood this idiomatic phrase. What does it have to do with the lips? But now that I heard what Rav had to say, and he recommended not even buying the lips for a dime, I appreciated that lips means something that doesn't have any meaning. So the day itself is lost. It's like not worth anything, because the Talmidim didn't show up for learning. Now the Mishnah allows, in the case of a Vlad, Koshrin Esatabur, that we're allowed to tie up the umbilical cord of a newborn. And Rabbi Yossi goes a step further and he says we're even allowed to cut on Shabbos the umbilical cord for the purpose of the Vlad. Tana Rabbanan Koshrin HaTabur, and Rabbi Yossi Omer Af Chotchim. So we're allowed to tie the umbilical cord in order to avoid Sakana, because again, it could be that the cord will wrap around Chas Shalom the baby's neck, and that could be disastrous. And Rabbi Yossi goes a step further. He says you can even cut it off, because if you don't cut it off, then it might come to Sakana. And Rabbi Yossi holds that even after you tie it up, it still could be a Sakana. V'tomnim shilya kidei sheyicha mavlat. And the shilya, which is the placenta, is you can envelop it. That's called hatmana, when you envelop it. And this newborn will be cham, will be warm. So enveloping the placenta warms the newborn through means that is unknown to us. The Mishnah Berurah calls it Derech Sgula, and on a weekday the placenta would be enveloped by burying it in the earth. But since that's something we're not allowed to do on Shabbos, so we have another means of envelopment that has to be used, and that's what the Braisa is going to describe now. Omar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Benos Melachim, the princesses, Tomnos Bisfolim Shel Shemen. They envelop the placenta in bowls of oil. Benos Ashirim, the daughters of the wealthy. They don't have access, I guess, to Sfolim Shel oil, bowls of oil, but Sfogim Shel Tzemer. They have wads of combed wool. and that's enough to wrap around, envelop the placenta. Ubnos aniyim, they don't have even wads of wool, but they will do the atmana b'mochin, which are soft rags, or perhaps cotton, and that's less expensive. The Braisa indicates that Dvarim Rakim, soft materials like Tzemer Geffen, like cotton, are helpful for this enveloping of the placenta. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravu, Omer Rav, Halachik Rav Yossi, we're allowed to even sever the umbilical cord on Shabbos. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravu, Omer Rav, Modim Chachomim L'Rav Yossi, B'tabor Shel Shnei Tinokos. And we're talking about the birth of twins, and they're tied together, and there's an umbilical cord that ties them together, which we can cut on Shabbos. My timer, what is the reason that even Modim Chachamim, even though in general they don't allow you to cut the umbilical cord, but here in the case of twins that are connected one to the other by the umbilical cord, where Chacham will allow you to cut it, cut the umbilical cord, Timinatche Adodi. Since they're attached by this umbilical cord, they'll pull away one from the other, and that already could dislodge the cord. There's a possible sakana. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav Baravu, Omer Rav, Kol HaOmer B'Parshas Tochacha, and that which is included in the Tochacha of Yechezkel HaNavi to the Jewish people, and he enumerates the great mercy, the chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon them, Osim Lechaya B'Shabbos. In other words, we can do for a woman who has to give birth or has given birth whatever is listed in this section called Parshas HaTochacha. And this can be done on Shabbos. Shenemar Umolada Tatayich Kem Poskin Yechezkel. And in regard to your birth, Biyom Hu Ledes Osach, on the day of your birth, Lo Koras Sharech, your umbilical cord was not cut, Ubimayim Lo Ruchatzt, nor were you washed with water to smooth the skin, Lemishe Besarcha, V'hamleach lo humlachta, no, you salted it all, which salting will strengthen the harden the skin. Hachtel lo chutolta, no, you swaddled it all, which the Gemara is going to explain. And these are all things that won't be done or weren't done, and they should be done. And therefore, kol ha'amor b'parasha osim l'chaya b'Shabbos. So let's talk a little about hachtel lo chutalta lo karchu oscha b'bgadim kidei liyashis evirecha. In other words, the limbs are not necessarily in the right position, and it's necessary to wrap around b'gadim to straighten out the limbs. Now Yechezkel is talking to the people of Israel, and his intention was lahamshil es bechirasam, to give a metaphor for the choice of Am Yisrael and their redemption from Mitzrayim, like an Adam Nichbad, like an honorable individual, Shematza Tinoke Shenolda Vesada, he found an abandoned baby that was thrown there, Lelosha Tiknubas Kala Tikunim, and the baby did not, unfortunately, did not receive all those wonderful tikkunim, those things that help to make the vlad a strong, healthy vlad. So this person, who is an honorable person, he has compassion on this baby, and he brings the baby, so to speak, back to life. And when this baby reaches, it's a female apparently, reaches the age of maturity, he marries her, and that's the mashal of Yechezkel HaNavi. So let's just summarize that on the day of your birth, your umbilical cord was not cut, nor you washed with water to smooth the skin, nor you salted at all, nor you were swaddled at all. And this is a pasuk that, as we said before, enumerates those things that had not been done for this neglected newborn that was left out in the fields. And we're going to infer that depriving the newborn of these things is going to cause discomfort to the newborn. None of these things involve a violation of Halacha Dorais on Shabbos. The Rabbanan therefore permitted it to alleviate the newborn's discomfort. And the Gemara says that I just want to point out here, there's an amazing comment here, the Metzudas David on Yechezkel. He says that after all this man did for this young little tot, this female tot, now she's ready to get married, he passes her again this same what we call an Adam Nichbad. And Roshi Adayin Muchleches Bidam, that there's still dam on her from the time that she was born. Because apparently the tikkun that they did for her only saved her from death. And now he comes along and he does a more complete tikkun. He puts her, he dresses her up, he gets a cosmetician to put her, to make her beautiful, and he marries her. And the Malbim has a long discussion about the Mashal and the Nimshal here in this chapter of Yechezkel. And perhaps it has something to do with Klal Yisrael during that period of slavery, subjugated Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu raises them. Now we have another Pasuk. Mechein L'meidim, from the same Pasuk. Dvarim Shemuto Lasol Sevlad B'Shabbos. Okay, Moladatach means that you're allowed to deliver the baby on Shabbos. Lokoras Sharech, which means that your umbilical cord was not cut. Mikan, from here will derive that Chotkim Hatabur B'Shabbos. Ubamayim Lo Ruchatz L'Mishay, they did not rinse you in water in order to smoothen your skin. Mikan sharochet sin avlad b'shabbos, that we will bathe the baby, the newborn baby, on Shabbos. Ve'hamlech lo humlach, mikan shemolchin avlad b'shabbos. So not only is it healthy to wash the newborn, and we'll do that on Shabbos in warm water, even though normally it's Osmin Rabbanon to wash the entire body with warm water, but here, for the sake of this discount, to alleviate this baby of this discomfort, we're going to allow it. And applying salt to the skin to harden it is something that normally we don't allow on Shabbos, but here we're going to alleviate that Isur. And Vachtel Lo Chutolta, you weren't swaddled. Mikan shemalafin avlad b'Shabbos. We swaddle the newborn on Shabbos to force the bones and the joints that may have been bent or dislodged during delivery back into place. And this is called, in a Gemara that we had earlier, on Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel, Asuve Yinuka, straightening the infinite, which Rav Nachman says is Asur, but here we might be talking about straightening the bones by hand. Okay, that might be a little different. Whereas here the infant is simply swaddled. Meaning, Rav Nachman might go as far as to say that this hand method of taking the baby and strengthening its bones, that's prohibited on Shabbos. But here we're swaddling the baby, and ma'atvim oso bebgadim, we surround him with clothes, the koshrim svivo chagora, and we tie around these clothing a belt, rechava, which is a wide belt, l'sadr seivarov, and in order to organize his limbs, because he, through the birth process, may have had his limbs dislocated, and that's what we're going to allow during Leda. Even though Rav Nachman, as we said before, Asuve Yinuka doesn't allow it, but there he was doing something with his hands. Here, Rav Nachman allows it because he's not using his hands, but rather korcho b'vgodin. He's just wrapping around with clothing, with cloth. Hadron Alecha Perek Mefanim. And now we're up to the 19th perek, which is Rav Lozar Demila. Just a little bit of an introduction here to Daf Kuf Lamed Omer Aleph. We're talking about Mila B'Shabbos. The Torah says, B'yom HaShmini Afilu B'Shabbos. And Rabbi Lozo was the one who said that if you don't bring certain Kelim on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to bring them on Shabbos for the sake of Mila. And therefore we name the parak Rabbi Eliezer. Now, it's very interesting because we had a chapter back on 13 and even 20 that also begins with Rabbi Eliezer Omer, and yet those are called respectively Perek Ha'oreg and Perek Tolin. But here Rabbi Eliezer finally was zochet to get the name of the Perek after him. Now the meal itself, which means cutting off the Orla and then exposing the what's called, I hate to use the word today, Corona. And this is followed by drawing some blood and then bandaging the wound, and then we apply certain antiseptics around the wound prior to bandaging it. And during the Mishnah's period, the common practice was to apply cumin and a mixture of wine with oil. And in order to perform a bris milah, you need an ismal, a knife or a scalpel, and if you make the knife and transport it to the location of the mila, those are what we call machshire mila. That's not an actual part of the circumcision itself. And the question is whether those would be allowed. It's presumably, although again this is going to be a machlokas, we're not going to override the Shabbos with machshire mila, but only with the actual maisa mila itself. Now, anything that you cause bleeding is prohibited on Shabbos as a tolda of Meleches Shochet. And the Torah, though, went out of its way, said, B'yom HaShmini Yimol Afil B'sar Los Afil B'Shabbos, to teach us that Mila overrides the Shabbos. And Belinetta will discuss whether it's Hutra or Dechuya. That's a separate complicated topic unto itself. Now, if a bris was shelo bizmana, let's say the baby was not well or was underweight, then we will delay the mila, but we will not reschedule the mila for a Shabbos, or for that matter for a yontif, because mila doesn't override the Shabbos, but rather on the eighth day, the Torah says, whatever it is, even if it's Shabbos, you're obligated in mila. Okay then, so that's an introduction to the Perek, and Mirtz Hashem we'll begin the perek in the next shift.